Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Kelly Sullivan Walden, the program co-director, co-founder of the Chime In. And Chime In is an international youth-based, youth-driven, mentor-supported initiative that engages aspiring, compassionate leaders of the world by promoting self-responsibility, endowing cutting-edge leadership skills, and providing the platform for everyone to chime in and make a positive difference in the world. So I am going to just invite you all to turn within for a moment and just stop whatever it is you're doing, any multitasking, and just take a pause for a moment. Let's just take a breath. Allow ourselves to come into the fullness of this present moment. Let's let ourselves tune in, chime in to what's right here, right now. Drop in with every breath, releasing any bit of stress or tension or worry or hurry or urgency. Let's just drop into the peace that passes human understanding. Let's just drop into the grace, the ease, the beauty, the power that is here in this holy instant. So in this moment, we're just connected to the unified field of oneness, wholeness, knowing that wherever we are listening from around the world or wherever we're from, we are, there's more connecting us than what would divide us or separate us. So let's just open ourselves to a space of grace and a space of gratitude, a space of awareness of where we are on this hero's journey officially, in the return stage of the hero's journey as we allow ourselves to proceed on this call. So I'm just grateful that you're here, grateful that you're listening maybe in an archive later. Wherever you are, however you're listening, we welcome you and are grateful for you. So I'm just going to present a little bit of where we are on our hero's journey. As I mentioned, we're in the return stage of the hero's journey, and often think that the hero's journey is over once you have received the reward, which means you've gotten some recognition for your hard work, or you've seen some kind of payoff, or something pays off. You've been rewarded in some way. And no, that's not the end of the hero's journey. Ultimately, according to Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey isn't a complete cycle until we come home with the elixir, until we have something to give back to the ordinary world. So we still have some stages left to go. Here's what Joseph Campbell also says about this stage, because just like it was difficult to take off on the hero's journey, or just like there was resistance or all the reasons why we should not set out, once we've embarked and once we've committed, it becomes difficult to return, because it's kind of like this becomes our new normal. Here's what Joseph Campbell says. The returning hero, to complete his adventure, must survive the impact of the world. Many failures attest to the difficulties of this life-affirming threshold. The first problem of the returning hero is to accept as real, after an experience of the soul-satisfying vision of fulfillment, the passing joys and sorrows, banalities and noisy obscenities of life. Why re-enter such a world? Why attempt to make plausible or even interesting to men and women consumed with passion the experience of transcendental bliss? As dreams that were momentous by night may seem simply silly in the light of day, so the poet and the prophet can discover themselves playing the idiot before a jury of sober eyes. The easy thing is to commit the whole community to the devil and retire again to the heavenly rock dwelling. Close the door and make it fast. So that's what Joseph Campbell says about this stage of the hero's journey, because it is easier in many ways to just stay where we're at, keep it going as it is, and that just makes it easier. So I'm wondering if we can open up the lines and see if anyone would like to comment on this. Have you ever felt like you had an extraordinary something happen to you, whether it be a difficulty like a trauma or something really wonderful, and you find it difficult to re-enter and talk about it and share about it with people that you think might not understand, might look at you like you've got two heads. So you have to grapple with how do I share this? What do I do with this information? Maybe I just become a hermit. Maybe I just stay apart. So or you figure out a way to communicate. So does anybody here relate to what I'm sharing? Anybody like to share? Press 1 on your phone so I can see your hand raise. And, or I'll just give an example from my life. Waiting to see if a hand will raise. I'm remembering, I'll just talk a little bit before I see somebody else's hand raise. Before I wrote my first book, I had it was more of a psychological bottom. There was a whole lot of things that were happening in my life that seemed to all crash and burn at the same time. And the last thing that crashed and burned was the relationship that I had with a guy I was dating. And I felt like I needed to just end everything. And I did. And I found myself feeling like I shouldn't be on the planet. Like I might as well just end everything, including me. And I ended up, before I decided to do anything drastic, I booked a session with my practitioner, who was kind of a spiritual counselor, and he took a look at me because I had been crying and crying and crying, and he said, you need to meet your higher self, and he called it my goddess queen self. That's the nickname that he had for a woman's higher self. And I had this kind of meditation where I got to see who I was capable of being if I really woke up. I saw a vision of myself as whole and complete and even radiant and not affected by the drama, the ups and downs of daily life, and not affected by all the drama. And this vision of me was so big that it was like she was so big that she could embrace the whole world and all the suffering of the world, including my own suffering. And I couldn't believe that I was able to connect with such an energy and such a feeling. It was truly the absolute opposite of where I had been feeling. And all I knew is that I wanted more of that experience. And I didn't know how to keep it, and I didn't want it to just be a blip on the radar. I didn't know how I would ever begin to communicate what I had just seen and experienced to anybody that knew me. I thought for sure they'd think I was crazy or I'd lost my mind. But so I began to just, I kind of stayed in my own little cave, my own little rock dwelling, and I just began to write about it. I began to write for days. In fact, I didn't work. I called in sick. I called in just, I disappeared from the world for a while and just wrote and wrote and wrote until I felt like I had written everything that I had seen, and I felt like I was ready to share it with a few people. And so I picked up the phone and I called a few people that I felt were safe, and I ended up inviting them over to my house to have a gathering to talk about what I had witnessed and to see if I could induce a similar meditation with them to see if they could experience something similar. And lo and behold, they kind of did. And that became a gathering that has taken shape for over the last 15 years. And I wrote a book about it, my first book, Discover Your Inner Goddess Queen. And that became my means for how to communicate. Writing about it helped me but it wasn't easy. It wasn't like an overnight process. So that's one way I relate to this stage of the hero's journey, that it wasn't enough for me to just have that vision, that transcendental, transcending kind of experience that was bigger than myself. It wasn't, that wasn't where my story ended. It didn't, that cycle didn't end until I could share it with people and I could pass it on, pay it forward. There was a woman actually that really inspired me to write my book, because she said, I want to start a gathering like what you're starting to do, but I have no idea how I would go about it. So she said, could you just write down the basic format of what you do, and then I'll duplicate that. So that ended up becoming the bones of the book that I wrote. And she ended up disappearing somehow from my life. Her phone number was like, it didn't work, her email address. So I don't even know if that woman was real, but it inspired me to put my book together. And I've shared it with many thousands of people since. And now I've written 9 books later, and or actually 9 books altogether, I should say. So it really started a path. And it wouldn't have happened had I not felt compelled to have to full circle my experience and bring it back. So that's my experience of this stage. So I don't see any hands raised, but I'm going to call on Kat and see if there's anything that you resonate here. And I know that you're going to be sharing with us some things, Kat, about your life. And I know that we've got Susan Johnson that just raised her hand. But Susan, Kat,
hello.
I'm in, and see if there's anything about what I just shared that you relate to, whether it be good, bad, ugly, something transcendent, and how you were able to share it with people. You're up.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm doing this via Skype, and I've been chucked out the call twice now, so I didn't hear all of it. But what I did hear just before it last kind of took me off was that you were talking about how you were just really upset from a breakup and how you went through this kind of spiritual awakening and you saw yourself. And I think that when you do go through a hard time, it is about tapping into that aspect of yourself, and also utilizing the resources around you and the people around you who are really welcoming and comforting to do that. So from that aspect I heard, it really resonated with me, and I was very empathetic and have been through that myself as well, where I've used people around me to bring me back to one.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Kat. And let's see, Susan, I see your hand raised. Susan Johnson.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. How is everybody? Hope you're good. So I can really relate to it. You know, my sister and I have worked together for 20 years, and we had built a franchise with over 100 locations around the world, and we were really riding high. We were traveling, we were training, things were really good, and we partnered with somebody that absolutely robbed us of everything, and within 3 months of meeting them, we were actually $1 million in the hole. And it was to come from that high where you really felt good, you were that hero, you were accomplishing things, to go to that ultimate low, and then, you know, you make that return, and you think when you're down at that bottom, you'll never get it back. You know, what were we thinking? Why did we do that? You question yourself, and you've been on such a high, and then we came back, and actually, for us, you know, when you look back on things, it worked out better. It was during the crash of 2007, and the gentleman that ended up taking the franchise from us actually ended up having to crash the whole thing because he had crashed it. And we went on to do something very different, very powerful, even more powerful than what we were doing. So it is interesting how you can do those lows and those highs, and you come back from that bottom, and then you work your way out, and you find out that it probably was for the best, and that you can really be on that high again. So it's certainly something I resonate with.
Thank you, Susan. Yeah, I think it's something that we think about, like especially with the hero's journey. If we set out on a noble path and we do all the right things, then everything should be just peachy. It should all be great. There shouldn't be any ups and downs. It should be like, so it's kind of like this big betrayal of life, it seems, when these things happen. And yet the hero versus the ordinary person persists, keeps going. They change course. They open things up, but there's always some something else. I mean, just like with Chime In, you know, we hit a bump in the road as the World Peace Caravan, and we stayed with the core DNA of what we were up to, but we had to switch things up and keep going in spite of that. And then it ends up turning out to be, in some ways, way better than what we could have imagined. And then we get to bring that wisdom home. Way stronger, exactly.
Yep. Way stronger. And again, I'm a positive person. I always look at that positive. And when you look right now at some of the things that are happening in the Middle East, it might have been a very difficult time to go. So, again, for us to have made this change, the energy behind it, everything was really pointing us to something better, bigger, and now we can help one of our own youth ambassadors and maybe set the standard for years to come to help one of our youth ambassadors programs.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to tell this story, even though some of you may have heard it, and it's kind of an annoying story, but I think it's a really important story when it comes to this kind of stuff. So here's one version of the story, and you may have already heard this. And by the way, if those of you who are listening, why don't you turn on your webcams? Let's see each other. So I'm going to start, actually, I'll start mine. Okay, here we go. Hi. All right, so here's the crazy story. So there's a farmer and his son, and they have a horse, and it's their main source of livelihood. Hello, Jitin. And there's a storm, and the horse runs away. And a neighbor comes by and says, it's an old man and his son, and he says to the old man, I'm so sorry that your horse ran away. Oh, no, this is the most horrible thing that could ever happen. What are you going to do? This is your livelihood. This is what you do. And the old man, who's wise, says, nothing is truly good or bad. It's what it is. And the neighbor looks at him like he's crazy, and he leaves. And the next day, the horse comes back to the corral with 10 other horses that he met that were wild out on the road. And the neighbor comes by and says to the old man, oh, my God, this is the best thing that could have ever happened. Your horse got away, but it brought back 10 more horses. This is incredible. You're so lucky. This is great. And the old man says, nothing is good or bad. It's just what it is. And the neighbor looks at him like, oh, you are hopeless. You're crazy. This was an amazing thing. The next day, the farmer's son is out trying to corral the horses and trying to tame them, and one of the horses gets wild and bucks and ends up breaking the son's leg. The neighbor comes by and says, oh, no, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened. Your son is the one that does all the work around here. Without him and his leg, you can't do anything. This is horrible. And the old man, who is wise, says, there's no good or bad. It's just what it is. And the neighbor says, oh, man, you are hopeless. The next day, there's a recruiter that comes by because they're recruiting all the young men to go to war, and they come by the house to recruit the old man's son, and they can't take him with him because he's got a broken leg. So the neighbor comes by and says, well, this is great. Now your son stays with you. He didn't get recruited. He had to stay. So you get to keep your son. This is the best thing. And he goes, let me guess. There's no good or bad. It's just what it is. And the old man says, yes. So the story keeps going on and on, ups and downs. And the truth is that it is what it is. And the hero tends to just keep going, whether it's high or low, and things unfold in a way that end up being good. And even if things fall apart, they keep coming back together again. Okay, that's my crazy story. Who wants to kill me now? Some people hear that story and they want to punch me. Nobody on this call, though. Okay, so let's see. Araya, would you like to comment on the return and anything that you might have heard about sharing? And then, Robin, we're going to have you share about your return, and Jitin as well. So have you had an experience of something extraordinary and found it difficult to share it with the ordinary world, or anything that you just heard that triggers anything for you?
Hello?
Yep, you're there.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Okay. I just woke up. I would say what made me think, well, what I thought of while I was hearing all of you share was perseverance. I've done a lot of perseverance in my life, and it's really just pushing through regardless of all the hardships and challenges that may unfold and come your way. I think, I don't know if I mentioned this in the call before, but during the summer, I did an internship for the United States Forest Service, and I met a man. He's a native. His name is Spirit Wolf, and he was telling us that life's challenges is like going on a trail. And the way you handle it is kind of like when, for example, you're walking on a trail and a tree falls over. How are you going to get over the tree? Are you going to go around it? Are you going to jump over it? How are you going to get over the tree? So the tree symbolizes like any kind of hardship or challenge. And the way you get over it is what matters. Doing it your way is what matters, and not how anybody else thinks what's best for you. I know most of the time I'll have an idea of what I want to do, but sometimes people in my life will think that they know best for me, but at the end of the day, I guess you have to do what's best for you and persevere and never give up, I guess you could say. I also want to mention failure. I think failure played a huge role in me just feeling comfortable in trying new things. Before, I used to feel so, really bad whenever I wouldn't accomplish something or start something and then it wouldn't really follow through. But I know that there's a lot of things to learn from those challenges and failures. So I'm not afraid to fail. And I just continue to persevere in my life.
Awesome, Mariah. Thank you so much. And let's not forget, you've also succeeded in a lot of things, too. I know that you've pulled through and made a lot of things happen in spite of many difficulties, but you're being kind of humble, too. Okay, Mr. Jeetan, I am opening up you. Let's hear from you, Jeetan. How do you relate to the return?
I'm having a hard time just pulling my head around this. I was been sick last 2 days, cold and.
Didn't say that again. It was hard to hear you. Sorry.
I said it's hard to put my head around. Like I could think of anything right now, but I said I was sick for the last 2 days and still like not feeling so great. But I don't know. Think of one. I might come back later.
I know one thing for you about coming back from Nepal after all that you did and all that you experienced and then having to reintegrate back home and figure out what you're doing here and how that works. So maybe that's something to chew on. Let's talk to Robin. Robin is with us, and we haven't talked to Robin in a while, and I'm so excited that he's joined us. So Robin, also from Nepal, a friend of Jeetan's, living in San Francisco now, or Northern California. So Robin, speak to us, Robin.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Jeetan. Hi, Maria. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Good to be here again. I'm so sorry for not being in touch for like 4 months, I guess. It has been a great journey since, I mean, it's more like internal journey that I was going, struggling, and I would like to see my life as like pre-earthquake and a post-earthquake phase. One thing that I think most of us felt like that urgency to be there in Nepal and share that pain and do something to help those people, and I did feel the same thing. And one thing that I noticed during that period was that that the urgency, that tendency to kind of react to the to every emotional impulses that I kind of experience in my life, that like whenever something wrong is happening in the society, you have the tendency to like, you feel like, I want to do something. And one thing that I notice right now is that tendency is like, it might sound sweet and it might sound very right, but sometimes it's not healthy. Like, you can't reach out to every people, and you can't, so that's something that I noticed. Like, so this 4 months has been more like my kind of personal training towards emotional mastery and really balancing myself and understanding who am I and what is my like role, like specific role, and what should I focus on kind of stuff. And yeah, I don't know if it makes sense or not.
It absolutely makes sense, Robin. I so appreciate you sharing. It's so wonderful to hear you. There's such a wisdom in your voice, and you've been through so much. And I for one, really love, I feel like I hope we can all learn something from you. And this is something that it might take people lifetimes to get to, where you want to be this helpful person, you want to be this kind, loving person, and you know we react to things and we run all over the place and run ragged, and at some point we realize we must put the oxygen mask on our own mouth if we're going to really be of service and to be mindful about what we choose and not just be completely reactive. So Mariah, I think she's raising her hand. Mariah, you want to speak up?
Yeah. Okay, so while you were talking, I was just thinking about the power of reclaiming your power. I know most of the time when in the midst of going through challenges, it's so easy to give away our power in a way that's not sustainable to us. And so it feels like we're going to burn out soon, or it just feels hard or difficult. And it's like, in my personal life, if I go through a hardship, I sort of let myself feel what I'm feeling, because I don't like to suppress any negative energy. But when I do, when I slip sometimes, I really try to go, it takes a lot just to go back to being positive and just trying to think about what's the gift in this and all of this. And so I think it's important to reflect, and because the reflection brings gratitude. Through my experience, and reclaiming your power, not giving too much away of your power, but just owning every aspect of yourself, I feel it, and not being mean to yourself, being kind to yourself for the different aspects of yourself, and just reclaiming your power. If that makes sense, I'm just talking.
My summation of what you said is, I think radical self-care is really important. You know, not just taking, like, you know, I think what Benjamin shared a couple of weeks ago with us about how he felt like he didn't deserve, it was almost like survivor's guilt, like there's people mm-hmm. that are suffering out there, so in order to justify my existence, I need to give every single thing I have, even if it means I don't eat today, I don't take care of myself, I give everything away, and then he came to the realization that his life also mattered and that he also needed to give something to himself, and maybe there was a reason that he was spared and that he is alive. And I wonder if some of that resonates, Robin, in some way, you know, maybe with you and Jeetan having such privileged lives in many ways, and knowing that a lot of the others didn't necessarily come out so well, and there's this compulsion to do. But then you mature it in a way so that you can have maximum giving by not leaving yourself out of the equation. So who wants to comment? Robin, do you want to say anything about that, or you, Jeetan, or both?
Yeah, I want to.
Go, Robin.
I want to. Okay. So last year, I worked with this one of my coach, self-love coach, and I work with him. Yeah, I work with him for like 5 months, I guess. He has been very helpful in kind of like bringing that internal shift in my life. And one thing that I noticed while working with him was like I could see that desire to help people, but somehow like we forget our own self, like we forget to take care of ourselves, and we forget to, I don't know, like it's something that you kind of start to see your existence in relationship with others, but you forget your own relationship with your own self, and that's like that,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of like I could see that even though I was very like I was able to reach out to people, like somewhere like I have this this imbalance within my own life. In terms of relationship with my family and intimate relationships and all, and I was not like sure, like I had no idea what was wrong, because I felt like I was doing every possible thing that to be a good person, and working with this self-help course was this kind of deep realization that being good to other people doesn't mean that you are good to your own self. So it's like now, like I practice self-love a lot. Like I try to talk with my own different like organs within my body. Like try to communicate with my organs. Like, how are you, my leg, like, you know, like saying hello, how are you, kind of like, so it's like taking care of our own self, for me, it's very vital process.
Wow.
This.
That
yeah.
is beautiful. I love that. It makes me think of years ago, I used to always have bruises on my body, because and someone said, Kelly, you don't make room for yourself, and I was always bumping into things, and you don't make room for yourself. I'm like, what do you mean by that? It was like, but that rang true. It was like I didn't value what, like, the space that I needed to be me, and I started, and she said, you need to acknowledge that you have an arm and you have legs and they have the right to be here and your internal organs. And it was like a revelation. And it used to be that my nickname used to be Kelly Grace, because it was like a joke about Grace Kelly, because I was so non-graceful because I would bump into everything. But it stopped after that day. It stopped after that day. When that person brought that up to me, that I needed to make space for myself, and I so needed some self-love. And a friend of mine said that compassion isn't compassion unless there's some left over for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, cool. So let's hear. We've got Tony and then Kat. If you are, Jeetan, let's go with you, and then we will go with Tony. So, Jeetan, I think your mic is live.
Okay. I was trying to actively listen to what you all saying at the same time, trying to think about what I'm going to say, because, you know, I was kind of trying to figure out. So I think whatever Robin was saying kind of resonates to me at the moment. I think, you know, after spending some time in Nepal, trying to help people who are in need, and at the same time, my life being pretty much of a giver, like all the time, like I try to give whatever I have to others around me, like including my time, my ideas and thoughts, and just like being, just like even if I'm just like my own state of mind, like. Like by myself, all alone, you know, my mind is now with me. Like it's still giving. You know, it could be a love distance, it could be my thoughts for someone or wishes. Like it's always active, and there's no way there wasn't any way I could switch off my brain. Like okay, turn off now. You have to think about yourself, and there are certain things that it kind of reminds me of my childhood now. That, I was like, when I was, in the refugee camp, and I know Robin could relate to this too, like, every Saturday, it's like it's a cleaning day. We go, we had to clean our school too. Like, we used to sweep the floor, everybody gets the turn, so we used to go to our school, and it's made out of mud and, bamboos and stuff, so we have to actually, use water and like clean it, like wipe it with mud, and it looks like new now. And also we go home and we take all the laundries, and we don't have any fancy place to wash your clothes, so we used to go to the river, and there are like 10-20 people at the river like cleaning their own clothes. So we used to like clean all our clothes. Like I used to take like a lot of clothes, my mom's, my little brothers, and like everybody's, not just mine. So it's like Saturday is like cleaning day, and then you wash, and you actually, we used to swim at the river and change clothes. And Saturday it's like we used to it's only the day you can watch TV, so like whoever has TV, so that's like a movie day too, like after 2:30 p.m. and then watch TV. And like it was kind of like such a, now I think about it, like, I wasn't worried. I was just thinking about myself. I was just taking care of myself. And now, like, even I'm free during the weekend, I don't get time to wash my clothes. My room is all messed up. There are clothes everywhere. And, I haven't changed my bed sheets for a week. And I was just crazy, like, what I'm doing to my life. It just makes me think, a lot now that, we have, I think we have gone, I don't know, to the, even you can give and still, you know, like, take care of yourself, you know, be who you are. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, I think that's what I'm thinking of. That's where I'm at right now. Like, you know, I can, you know, I cannot help others if I can't help myself. And, you know, I'm lately thinking a lot about my own family and the problems that my family is going through. And I give advice to others. I'm helping build others' family, and I'm not doing nothing to build my own family, you know. There are things that are broken, and I can't do anything about it. And I think it is really vulnerable to be in that stage where, you know, I think I've seen a lot of people feel the same way. You know, they are so excited, and they go above and beyond to help others, but they don't do that to themselves or to the family. So I think I'm really, like, trying to, you know, figure that out. You know, how can I do, what can I do to help myself and, you know, things that are, you know, broken, and how to put those things, pieces together. So.
Ooh, thank you, Jeetan. That is big, what you just shared. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We do need to have a sense of ourselves. Oh my God, I've got this really extreme story that and I see Robin, is that you, Robin, with another story to share? I'll just say this, and then Kat, I wanna make sure to get to you. In the Chicken Soup for the Soul book that came out recently, Mariah's in that book. Hello, Mariah. The story that I wrote, it's the first chapter, it's called Mosaic. It's all about this kid. I mean, it starts off, it's about this young man, Brian, who is a giver. He's amazing. I mean, everyone loves him. He's like everybody's best friend. He is like Mr. Sunshine. And he was all about giving to other people. And he didn't take care of himself. And the story actually begins with him running out of gas on the freeway, and it's very symbolic. He runs out of gas because he didn't take time to put gas in his own car, and he got hit from behind and died. And my story, I'm the one telling the story because I ended up doing the grief counseling for his family, and the night before I counseled his mother, I prayed for a dream to help give me guidance because I felt like I was out of my depth. I didn't know how to be a space for a mother who had just lost her child, and I prayed for a dream, and all I got was the word mosaic that I wrote down. And so I'm talking to Margarita, his mother. I'm having my session with her over the phone, and she's telling me about the thousands of people that came out to Brian's funeral. And every person that got up to speak talked about how he was their best friend. And he was the number one person in their life that he would give the shirt off his back to all of them. And because of that, he had so many people whose lives he impacted. And she was telling me about a friend of her, somebody that she knew, it was her accountant or something, who also had a funeral that same week. And there was like two people at his funeral because he was super selfish. He always took care of himself. Nobody showed up for him. But at Brian's funeral, there were thousands of people, but he didn't take care of himself. And so in my session with her, she's telling me about the funeral and all the people and all the flowers. And then she tells me that one of the greatest gifts that one of Brian's friends gave her was a mosaic of all these pictures of Brian put into one picture. And I said, did you say mosaic? Because that was the dream I had last night. I had a dream about a mosaic. And she said, you dreamt about a mosaic? I said, I dreamt about a mosaic. So it was this amazing synchronicity that we felt like it was Brian communicating that, that he was okay, that he had made it, and it was, it ended up being a very beautiful moment. And she's, the family is doing really well, but I wanted to share this story because it's, to me, it's radical, it's extreme. And Dana and I were driving the other day, and the gas tank was getting low, and we were running out of time getting to where we said, I said, pull over, get gas. You have to get gas. You have to put tank. We have to put gas in our own tank. What good is it going to do if we are helping everybody and we run out of gas? So, I don't mean to startle everybody with my radical story, but I dream about Brian a lot. He's around, and I think he would say, "Yeah, take care of yourself while you're taking care of other people. You're not going to end up like that accountant that had two people at his funeral. You've kind of you're not that kind of person. You're the Brian type of person, you know. But take care of yourself." So, Tony, before we move on to Kat, is there anything that you would like to share or comment on about what you've heard so far? Anything? I know that this we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but can you? Oh, let me make sure that your mic is on. Oh, there you are, Tony. Tony. Hi.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, very good to be with you here. Thank you very much to everybody for what you're saying. Actually, it comes to my mind a couple of things that we worked with Kevin in the coaching thing that we were in. Kevin Walsh. I don't know if any other of you was with him, but he was like the coach that lead me to the program there with a couple of months ago. And one of the things that he said one of the things that I wanted to work was the intrinsic part of the leadership. And Kevin said that you have to do things day by day in your ordinary life that only you know what kind of things are and what those things mean to you, that you have to make like little changes or you have to put little goals every single day in your life, and that will make you a better leader to others. That will make you a better person to everybody. And so the first part was to put goals, everyday goals, you know, in my life for a month, I think that was. And every single day I tried, I don't know, this day I'm going to be 15 minutes early in my work, or this day I'm going to wake up and read, I don't know, a poem or something like that. And after the month, Kevin asked me, so do you think that this is making a change in your life? And I said, actually, yeah, but not only with me, because it was a change with everybody too. It's like the external part of making change in myself. And he said, you have to think in the, this is like a ripple effect, he told me. This is like a ripple effect. You do things and you like make an upgrade in your person, in your life, and you see how things that are beside you and that are around you, like that upgrade and get better. So I think that was all of that you were saying. That completes that part, you know, the thing that Kevin was trying to help me out there in the coaching leadership. Yeah.
So you're talking about the coaching that you've been getting from the Connective Leadership coaching, and how I think what I heard when I talked to Kevin, he said that a lot of our youth ambassadors needed to build up their competitive style of leadership, which I was like, wow, and why would that even be a good thing? To me, in my world, I would think a leader shouldn't be competitive. They should be compassionate and empathetic and visionary, but competitive? Ooh. But in hearing you speak, Antonio, and hearing some of the feedback I've gotten from the others, it's about being, in a way, competitive with yourself so that you become your best self, your personal best, not like you're going to be competing necessarily with everyone around you, although that might be part of what drives. And I think that's a really important piece. Jeetan would like to say something on that. Go for it, Jeetan.
So, like, you know, one of the things that you're hearing me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the phrase, I am who I am because of who you are, because even if you are self-competitor and you're, like, competing with yourself, don't you think that it will affect another person? Because it's not like indirect competition. Even if you are competing with yourself, then you are trying to make yourself better at what you do, but that will indirectly, you know, bring influence to another person. So how's that work?
Are you're asking the question?
Yeah, it's my question. Anyone can respond to that.
Well, Tony, do you want to respond to that since you were just speaking? And then Kat will bring it to you to respond.
Okay. Well, actually, what Kevin said was that if we, like, compete with ourselves day by day, we are going to be like the better that we can, you know, like a better us. Like a Tony 2.0, I don't know. that would lead you to have better relationships with everybody. That would lead you to be better with others, not only with you. And that would make, like, he said, the ripple effect. He said that would make this ripple effect of making changes around you with other ones, you know, not only with you and in your life, but with everybody, because the exterior always responds of what you are feeling, what you are doing. So if you are angry, for example, everybody around you are going to be like, wow, this man is but if you have, like, a good vibe, you know, if you have, like, a better, I don't know, approach with the outside, things are going to get better.
So true. Does that clarify for you, Jeetan?
Yes. You know, like, I think, you know, there's, oh, you know, it's something that I always try not to do, is, like, you know, not to hurt another person, you know, by things that I do, and it ends up being the hurt. Like, you know, people feel something about what I do, and it's not, like, you know, intentionally that I want to hurt another person, but, like, my behavior, like, it, you know, my behavior or my, you know, yeah, I think it's behavior. It's the reason that someone feels, you know, uncomfortable or something, you know, because I think we all are really, you know, different in our own way, and, you know, just, like, knowing and acknowledging that, like, you know, I like, you know, personally, I'd like to, you know, think in a way that, you know, if someone is acting in a certain way, then I like to think that it is who they are, it's not me, and that makes it easier so that you don't feel hurt, like, you know, because every time if you, you know, take things personally, you know, what they do or what they say to you, say, that brings all this misery and sadness in your life, rather than thinking about, you know, it's who they are, and if I might do something that might, you know, make another person uncomfortable or sad, but at the same time, I do have a lot of people around me who makes me happy. So it's like both, like, you know, there is like both, yeah, like yin and yang, like there is like negative side and there is positive side. So it's just like, you know, and you don't know what comes from the same person. Sometimes you get both, and, you know, and you just need to accept that, you know. I don't know, like, there was one quote that I remember, like, it's always hard to wake up in the morning as a wise person and trying to do good things, you know. Well, you know there are so many negative things that surround you. So, it's, you know, I think, you know, what you said, Antonio, it makes sense, and, yeah. I think, you know, having a competition with your belief and what you think is what I really like to do, like, you know, compete with your belief and your thoughts.
So say that quote again, Jitin. I want to make sure I heard that.
You know what? I will. It's on my Instagram. I will send it to you because I took this picture and in the morning I went for a walk and I wrote this quote in the picture. So it's actually we can share that in the time into.
Okay, thank you. So Miss Kat, you are live. So the call is yours right now, and I know that there's a few other people with their hands raised, but I really wanted Kat to get a chance to. She's our featured youth ambassador this month, and we'll have next week as well for you to have the whole call. But Kat, is there a way for you to have your webcam up, or actually just take it away, however you would like to do it?
Yeah, I don't know where this button is to get the webcam up, I'll be honest. I have tried to do it, but I just don't know. I do have a webcam and it would work, but yeah, I don't know how to do it, I'm sorry. I'm really actually enjoying this conversation. So if other people do have a raised hand and want to speak, that's fine. I think it's really interesting because self-care, radical self-care is so important, but on a personal level, I really struggle with aspects of it, because if I'm taking time for myself, I'm always thinking, okay, what could I use this time for? Like, what could I be doing right now? Like, how could I be making this more productive? And sometimes it's just about, even if I'm letting myself be and being like, yeah, I want to watch a film, I want to go out for a drink with a friend, I'm thinking about all the other things I need to do that I have deadlines for and all the projects I'm involved in. So it's quite interesting, but I find it relatively pretty hard to do at the same time.
Right. Kat, I'm going to send you a link, just, and this is a link for you to always, you can use it so that next week you can come right on. So look for, what's the best email for you? I sent you, did you get my email from this morning?
Yeah. I can receive them both, but I'm on that link at the moment. So I don't quite know, but I'm also on my work computer, and
I don't know if it's that
I have to download a system, and just my computer system won't let me download any application.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, we'll see if this link works, and if not, that's fine. We'll move on, but we'd love to just, so for next week, we'll get to hear more about your project, or more about your, what it's like to live in the UK, and what it's like.
Did you receive my email, by the way?
I did not.
Oh, I sent it a couple of hours ago. But it's fine. It's a bit of a presentation, but we can go through it next week, so it's absolutely fine.
Perfect. So it would be great if you could get your webcam going so that we can see, because we need to have that in order to see your presentation, if that makes sense. And if not, I'll play it from my end. So all good. But let's see. You know, I just want to say something about, we've got Benjamin. This is kind of a funny thing. You know, the actors Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, apparently they both were always, and Mariah knows this because I've told her about this, but they were always in competition with one another. They were both up for Rambo, and Sylvester Stallone got the part, and they were both up for the Terminator, but Arnold Schwarzenegger got the part and not Sylvester Stallone. So in separate interviews, they would both talk about how complacent they both would have gotten in their own career because they both were really successful on their own. But because of each other, they both kept striving and kept working out and kept trying to be better because they had somebody that was like neck and neck with them that was competing with them. And they ended up, they both have credited the other, even though they've kind of argued with each other and maybe not been the best of friends, but they both acknowledge each other as having been instrumental in helping them to both become their version of their own personal best. So to me, I think of that as an example of how that competitive style of leadership can help to just spur you along in some ways. So anyway, I thought that was funny. Okay, so let's see. Benjamin, we haven't heard from you yet today. You are live. It's so great to have you.
Hey, good morning.
You're on the Goodness Tour. How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's going absolutely amazing. We're so excited with the sharing that's taking place and the inspiration and the stories that that were once invisible and now we've had an opportunity to open our ears and hear them and share them and just so exciting. So, like, I'm speechless. I just needed to get on this call for a little bit because I miss you guys and just love the Wednesday morning connections and, you know, just real quickly because I want to hear a little bit more of what Kat's saying before I have to jump off and we're racing off to our next gig. But we have had these incredible concerts at the Cancer Research Center and just one quick little something where this little girl, she came up and she painted a hummingbird on the painting. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love hummingbirds. And in Peru, they believe that that the hummingbird like vibrates at the frequency of Mother Nature's unconditional love. And there's so much symbolism about it and everything. And she said, well, my little brother, he just passed away from cancer, and that was his favorite bird. And I was just like, you know, wow, every time you see that hummingbird, that's your brother. And, you know, you're just connected in. And there's so many stories of people overcoming cancer and homelessness and finding community and being so excited about creativity and so it's just feeding all of our souls as much as we're sharing. And I love this conversation. I love what everybody's talking about. And the one thing that, you know, this conversation reminds me of is, when we're running the 100-meter dash, when we're running by ourselves is great, you know. But when we're running next to our peers, then we run a little bit faster. So I got to send out so much love and gratitude for all of you, and I'm excited to meet you soon. So thank you.
Benjamin, I love your stories. Oh, my God, that's so beautiful about that little girl. Thank you so much for sharing that. How special, and the Goodness Tour, you are living up to it. And I'll never think of a hummingbird in the same way. That's amazing. Thank you so much for making time for our call in the midst of your busy Goodness Tour. That's so awesome. Okay,
yeah.
So, Robin, you had your hand raised from a while ago. Did you get a chance to share?
Well, when Deacon was sharing, I could relate to him, and I reminded of a TV show in Netflix, Marco Polo, and there is this blind man who trains Marco Polo. His name is Hundred Eye, and he has a great quote that really shifted my perspective. I just wanted to share that. Yeah, so Mark, this Hundred Eyes says to Marco Polo, he says, like, it is good to be hated for who you are rather than to be loved for who you are not. That was,
oh, my
that was,
God.
That was like,
wow.
That was like, it was that feeling like I needed this. Like, it's like, you know, in this path to become like I think the path of giver is sometimes kind of challenging. When I mean, my own experience is like, you want to be so good to people and kind of forget who you are, and you don't want to treat, I mean, in a kind of like odd way, and you are worried that they might dislike you, and that's something that this quote kind of made me think, like, it's good to be who you are and be, I mean, this, you know, like, this whole conversation kind of reminded me of this particular quote. And,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that just—that's a whole—that's a whole other conversation. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a good one. I love that. It's better to be hated for who you are than to be loved for who you are not. Your false self.
Aho.
Aho. Aho.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. Susan Johnson, I heard your voice. I saw that you. So please chime in.
You know, I just want to make a comment about competitiveness. You know, many people associate competitiveness with a negative vibe, and competition is only a negative vibe when you are competing to put someone into the ground. A competitive spirit can be really beautiful when you talk about Competitive spirit can be beautiful when you're talking about being a team and competing for something. Like Benjamin said, when you are competing with other people, it pushes you to your best. Us as Chime In are competing to get to Guatemala, to be able to build 10 homes, to be able to do something beautiful. There's got to be a competitive fire in us to make that happen. And that's a beautiful thing. That's us working together as a team, trying to be the best that we can. And that takes a competitive spirit. A leader needs to be competitive because in order to lead, they need to inspire other people, and that takes that competitive attitude to get it done. I'm going to do it. No one's going to let me get it down. We're going to make it happen. And that pulls the group up. It's why certain teams are so successful. And for us, I think, you know, our youth ambassadors, we as a group are very inspired to give, to give, to give, to give, and it's a beautiful thing. But we also have to learn that little bit of competitive fire is what has made many of you the special people that you are, and you have to look at that in a way to accomplish more. So don't think of competitive as bad. Think of competitive as something that's going to make you better and the people around you better. Just like Benjamin said, in that race, when you're racing against someone else and they're running really fast, you want to run even harder. You both run better, especially if it's all for the same goal. So it's really important to let that competitive nature in you come out, because we as a team can use that to make ourselves really terrific, especially when we go to Guatemala. We're going to build as a team. We're going to need that competitive spirit to lift all those boards and put up those houses and make sure that we're getting it done. And look at that house going up over there. Look how fast they're going. We're going to do that too. Don't think of it as bad. Think of it as a challenge to yourself. Making yourself better. There's nothing wrong with a competitive spirit as long as you're not trying to drive somebody into the ground.
Oh, I think that brings up a really, really good point. And maybe we'll have Kevin Walsh come back on the call and talk a little bit more in depth about what they mean by that. Because that I think this is really interesting. It feels shadowy to me. I know I've got it. But I feel like I haven't fully embraced it. It feels a little bit scary to me because I feel like I naturally do have it. I must have it, and I think I've gotten in trouble for it with people that have felt, you know. I mean, I used to work at a job where I was getting names of people to sign up for you know, to win a car or something. And I used to get like 100 people to sign up in a shift, and the average person would get 20, and they hated me. And I was like, sorry. So
But I ask you this, Kelly. Did they hate you, or did they hate themselves for not having the competitive spirit to be able to get 100 names?
I think
a little bit of both.
I think there's an unspoken rule in a group that is, and I've heard that this is mostly true around women. And actually, Kat, you could probably comment on this because I know you've done a lot of work kind of on the psychological aspect of groups. And so I'd love to hear your feedback on this. But the unspoken rule, especially among women, is to be about the same, and to speak about how well you're doing. It's like it's a lot easier for women in general, not all women, to talk about their aches and pains and what's wrong in their life and their drama, because women go, oh, honey, it's okay, we love you, you're okay, and it's almost like you get extra brownie points for having a bad day, as opposed to showing up and saying, oh, my God, I just had the best day ever, I just, you know, everything's going my way, people would look at you like, that's nice, and goodbye. So
again, I ask you, is that them or is that you?
Yeah.
Remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, is that them not being in the space that they want to be in?
True. True. And I think it's the unspoken conversation in the group. I mean, Mariah, I see you're competitively getting out the door. Is there any last words that you'd like to say before you have to take off on your bike to get to class on this? I know you've been listening and you've been doing an interpretive dance of this conversation on the video for us, which is great. Is there anything you'd like to say about being competitive? I know that you've experienced, you know, both sides of the equation.
I say, can you hear me?
Yep.
I say, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. And don't feel bad about it.
Done. Like the Diane Williamson quote. Is that what you were going to say? Am I channeling you? Go ahead.
Yes, you're channeling me. Go.
No, you go. You go.
Our deepest fear? Okay. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Boom.
Boom. Not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be talented, fabulous, gorgeous? Well, who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and you were born not to, oh, God, I always forget this part, but basically, get over it. I'm going to look it up and say it better. You're meant to shine like children do. Your light.
It is your light. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Wait, you said that already. The quote is just so long. But I encourage you all, if you can, to look it up. It's by Marianne Williamson. It's a quote called Our Deepest Fear. And, I hope everybody has a wonderful day. And I'm going to run. I'm going to go to school. All right.
Go. Have a great day. Be competitive.
Bye,
Sophie. Be your best. Be better than you've ever been. Oh, here we go. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. Why isn't she putting the whole quote here? Oh, God. Marianne.
She's being competitive. She wants people to actually search for it. See what I did there? Whoever searches it first is very competitive.
Here we go. All right. Just for once and for all, for God's sake. All right, Mariah, can you read this, or can somebody read this besides me? Who would like to read this? Mariah, read it.
Okay. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your plain small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Woo! On that note. All right. So is there anything else anybody feels compelled to say? Either raise your hand in the chat in our little, like, by pressing one, or you know what, let's just sign off. I think that was a high note. We're gonna come back next week. We're gonna have Kat be the one to share the majority of our call. Susan, any final announcements about anything?
No, you know, again, just for everybody, remember that our Spikelet campaign ends as of November 1st right now, although we are trying to extend it a couple days. Get it out there on social media. Have people give us a thumbs up. And also, all of you have the book fundraiser. Put that back up on your webpage. People are now looking for holiday gifts. The book is a beautiful holiday gift. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please email me. That's Donna Sebo's book, and she is giving us 40% of every book that we sell. Again, it's a great way to make a little bit of cash. You know, every $100 that we make is $100 towards somebody's plane ticket. And we want everybody to be in Guatemala. So, you know, anything that you can do to get that thumbs up, to get that, you know, get someone interested in that book, to buy it for a Christmas present, it is beautiful. We'll be grateful.
So that's thank you, Susan. On that note, repeat after me, I am the change.
I am the change.
I am the change.
You are the change.
You are the change.
We are the change.
We are the change.
Let's go be the change.
Be the change. Woo!
All right. Have an awesome day. Thank you, everybody, for participating today. Go be the change. See you next week. Stay in touch. And Kat, can't wait to hear from you next week. Peace out. Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are currently the only person in this conference.